If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, hello. It's another episode of Is It Just Me? Your weekly, well, mostly weekly dose. You know, we try to be diligent. Your weekly dose of what James Williams, my co-host, calls the news night of nonsense, where I'm your other host, Joe Elvin, and we get together with a celebrity as often as we can and discuss all the trivialities that buzz around our head at 4 a.m. and drive us crazy. Don't we, James?
Absolutely.
Say hi. Yeah.
And hello, everyone. Hi. And look, this is actually Christmas week, so happy Christmas to you all. And so, we've gone a bit festive crazy this week in terms of the craziness we've talked about. We talk about random things like cracking eggs and Christmas trees, Joe. It's a real cracker, Christmas cracker of an episode, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's not eggy at all. It isn't, I promise. We talk about a lot of stuff with the one and only and fabulous Edith Bowman, TV presenter, broadcaster. She's got her own podcast called Soundtracking, which is all about music and theme tunes to films and television shows. And, well, speaking of good eggs, I think she's the best one around. So let's get into it.
It's lovely to be here. The last time we did this was in your office, Joe, when the three of us chatted.
That's right. And I remember your little one had a Darth Vader impression on your phone.
Oh, God, yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah, he does a good Darth Vader. He does a good Batman from the Lego movie as well. Life doesn't give you seatbelts. Which is kind of useful for what we're all going through at the minute.
Yeah, you just press a button on him and he can be your voice or your special effects.
Exactly, yeah.
How are you doing? So we're good. What are you up to?
You're busy as ever, I think, Edith, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been, do you know what, I feel really lucky that I've been able to kind of keep going to a point. I kind of went into panic stations as soon as the first lockdown happened, and I went nuts and bought tons of equipment so that I knew that if anything did come up, I was going to be kind of tech ready, ring lights and microphones and all that stuff. And it stood in good stead, to be honest, because I've been able to keep the podcast going, which has been amazing. And weirdly, it's opened a lot of doors, the lockdown, because normally when a film's promoted, there's a restricted number of people who will come roll into town to promote it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone out the window because anyone's really available now from the film. So I've been able to, you know, not that we just focus on speaking to composers on the podcast, but I've been able to get access to a couple of really important ones for me, like Ludwig Göransson, who just did Mandalorian, and he did Tenet and Black Panther. And Spike Lee's composer that he's worked with from way before Malcolm X, Terence Blanchard. I'd normally never get a hold of them. So that's been kind of positive.
It's so funny you mentioned The Mandalorian because my husband and daughter take the piss. We're not allowed to watch it until we've watched the opening credits with the theme tune because there's just something about that music that's just so fabulous.
Do, 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 do,
yeah.
Do,
But it's like so mashing good. Sci-fi and Western. It's so cool.
Absolutely. Well, he was Kurosawa and Morricone were the two sort of reference points that John Favreau said to
yeah.
him. He originally kind of went to score it. Yeah, he's amazing. He's so fascinating. That show is extraordinary. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is incredible. But
someone behind a mask can kind of like, you know, convey so much emotion. It's just, it's bonkers. You know, it's like...
Is it bad to fancy the Mandalorian?
No.
That's good.
I've ordered Tom the outfit for Christmas. Yeah.
Hey, just keep the mask on, darling. Just keep it on. Yeah. No. You got to stay authentic. You cannot take it off.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the podcast, that's been going a while now. Remind me the name.
It's called Soundtracking with Edith Bowman. And it's a way of me having been able to have conversations with people, creatives in the film world, about their relationship with music, both personally and professionally. So, you know, we speak to actors, we speak to producers, directors, writers, composers. I've got Tessa Thompson coming up, who I absolutely adore. I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
Who else have we had on? Lockdown's been great. We had Isabel Waller-Bridge on. She was great, talking about Fleabag and Emma and all sorts. I love it. And we're about to hit our fifth year, which is bonkers because it's just my mate Ben and I. You know, it's like, you know, rocking up to chat to you two. Similar vibe. It's like, I book all the guests, I record the audio, I send it to Ben. He's my Obi-Wan and sort of sprinkles his Jedi powers over it and makes it sound awesome. And then we put it up and that's it. And we've missed two shows since we launched back August 2016.
Oh, wow. You're doing better than us then.
Yeah. Your consistency is way off the charts compared to ours, I'm afraid, Edith.
That sounded so organised. As you were speaking, I was thinking, I don't think I really know how this podcast happens. It's just sometimes it's just...
I don't, apart from just chatting to people. That's the bit that I do. And then someone else does all the technical stuff.
We have our hidden Jedi, Joel, who we do the same
thing.
There you
go. Everybody needs a Jedi.
Everyone needs a little Jedi, a little podcast Jedi, and we send it off and he makes the magic happen. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, maybe we should start making Joel wear a helmet.
You're taking this to a kinky place, Joe. You're taking this to a kinky place.
Well, you know, I mean, I've got nothing else to do. It's another lockdown. Yeah.
Obviously, we should mention, this is our Christmas episode, Edith.
Woo! Merry Christmas!
Joe. Oh, God. Joe, well, where are you at? It's Christmas next week. No. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Edith, my question is, are you feeling as festive as Joe Elvin clearly is?
Do you know what I am, weirdly? I think that because we've not had much to look forward to or to plan for or to... we've kind of just... Like, we've been watching a Christmas movie every night. We've got the decks up. I've gone a bit nuts on a woodland Christmas scene outside. We bought a fire pit and we got that out last night. We were outside.
I wish I had the room for a fire pit.
And I am genuinely really looking forward to Christmas because it feels like it's the only thing at the minute that we can look forward to.
I've got to say, Edith, about this sounding really creepy, when I was thinking about this last night and about doing the chat with you today, I did feel a bit of, I bet Edith, because obviously you've recently moved to the countryside. You've got out of the place.
Yeah, a year ago today, actually.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. The anniversary. Nice.
Happy anniversary.
I did have a moment of thinking, I bet it's so lovely and festive. And you've just basically proven me right. how have you found the transition? Because obviously, you know, it's a big deal. I think you've lived in a city like London for a long, long time. And then you do make the leap. How have you found it?
I think I had put more concern on it than it genuinely was. Listen, I'm an hour and 10 on the train into Paddington. So it's kind of, I remember when we went to see the bank originally about kind of getting a mortgage, and the guy was like, you know, how are you going to do for work and things? And I was like, well, it's an hour and 10 in the pattern, you know, in the train. He went, I travel longer than that and I live in London in the morning.
Yeah, that's the problem with London. Yeah.
So I was kind of like, and do you know what? I just think for the kids, I just wanted to give them a chance to have a bit of their childhood out in the country. My in-laws live out here. That's why we moved out this way, is because we spent a load of time out here anyway. So they knew it. They were familiar with so much of it. We knew quite a few people out here as well. So it's really funny as well. We're about to have our third set of people move out this way as well since we moved. Wow. So we feel a bit like the Pied Piper of like.
You know, it's so funny though. If I said to my 15-year-old, "Hey, guess what? Good news! We're going to move to the country," she would look at me like I'd done a turd in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy's 12 now, and I was concerned. I know what I was like. That was my biggest fear, was because I grew up in a tiny fishing village, and I couldn't wait to get out. Like, my mum kind of pretty knew by the age of 4 that I was leaving. And so it felt like, am I going backwards? Am I going to feel like I did when I was a teenager and feel kind of claustrophobic? And no, but I haven't at all. It feels like there's loads going on here.
It also, you're connected enough. It's not like you're hundreds of miles from, a bit of fun and city when you want it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I started swimming in lakes as well, which is great for my partly my
music. My God, you really are middle-aged, Edith. Sorry to tell you.
Yeah, totally. I'm embracing it. I'm about to start going and getting my hair set in curlers after next.
No. That's not on the memo these days. You've got to dye it pink.
I'm going back.
That's the new middle-aged agenda.
Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Yeah. I saw Madge do that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh yes, Madge. I do think it's interesting. I think that I've got a few friends who actually, and some of them I would argue reluctantly made the leap to leave the London sort of rat race. But I think if 1 year has ever proven that they made the right choice, because I think it's shown that you don't necessarily have to be right in the center of everything to still be connected, you know.
Yeah.
So working remotely, and it's making it work, you know, and it's actually been a real eye-opener, I think, for so many people, you know. And that probably explains why suddenly, Edith, you've had a glut of load of people following suit, because I think people have realised they don't necessarily have to be on top of each other.
It's about quality of life. And I think things will change if we ever get back to whatever a normal is, in terms of, you know, how much is actually you're able to do remotely. And I think a lot of that will remain in terms of, you know, to keep costs down for people and businesses and all that kind of thing as well. But I mean, I miss people. I miss hugs. I'm a hugger. I miss, like, that's the hardest thing. I've got to come into London on Friday, actually. I'm hosting this Amazon Music charity event for Help Musicians at the Roundhouse. And it's still going ahead. And they've kind of gone like sort of stealth COVID protocols on it. And we've got to have tests and stuff before we go in the building.
Have you had the test yet, Edith?
No, I've not.
Oh, God.
Is that like having your tonsils out?
Yeah, well, I, as I said on Facebook, if you said to me, you have to have a cervical smear or the COVID test every day for 2 weeks, I don't know if I'd choose the COVID test. Let's just say that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So enjoy. Yeah, carry on.
I mean, it was only last week I had a smear test, so I've got that fresh in my brain. So, yeah.
I had one day last week where I had the smear, the COVID, and a flu jab all in one day.
Absolute mentalist. That's what it's come to. That's how you get fun these days, Joe.
Then I was allowed to leave the house. So, you know.
And Joe, you said you're not feeling festive. How could you not after that holy trinity?
Oh, quite, yeah. Exactly. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you to talk about smear tests.
It's weird. No, it's important. My consultant was saying that he's kind of really concerned about the reduction in number of people going for smear tests since COVID. So I think any opportunity for us to talk about it and encourage people to not hide that letter under the post line in the kitchen and actually go and get it done is really important.
Go and have a conversation with someone. Have a lie down. You know, there are worse ways to spend an afternoon.
It might be your only lie down of the day. So
quite. Yes. Yeah. I forgot what we were talking about.
I love it. So excited to have a conversation with people.
We were talking about Edith's first COVID test. Popping the COVID test cherry.
Losing your nose virginity. Let me put it, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Since we're in the festive spirit, why do we go to our first festive Is It Just Me, which I'm gonna
on this Christmas special that I've been planning for weeks.
You're literally, you know, you can hear the sleigh bells, can't you, Jo? Anyway, but the first one this week I think we should talk about is it just me? And this is a genuine concern. And I know I tend to be a bit more on the anxious side than the average person, but every day I get up and I look at my Christmas tree and I literally look at it and I go, you're about to keel over and die before the 25th of December, because I jumped the shark and I put it up too soon. I'm normally very, you know, stringent about not putting up Christmas decorations too early. But as you said, Edith, it's been one of those years. And I thought, no, yeah. I caved. I went early. It was up December 2nd. And now I feel like every day I'm on this white knuckle Christmas tree ride.
Same.
Where every day looks a little bit sadder. And I'm going, oh my God, please just hang on in there. Hang on in there to the 25th at least. And then I got my...
Is there anything you can do to pep those needles up? Can you like spray them with water?
Yeah. I'm doing that, Joe, but I'm now, my concern is I'm worried about it's starting to then get this weird like damp whiff smell, because obviously, you know, Christmas tree lights, wet needles, that's not going to make a nice smell, is it?
Singy.
We got ours up the road and they said you should water it every second day, so, but it's like our kind of tree holder thing is not really made to hold lots of water.
Same. I have never watered a Christmas tree, not once in my life.
So apparently you should water it every second day, but I kind of go in there and gasp when I see the kind of collection of needles that are on the floor. But then weirdly, it's like, do they grow more needles? Because it doesn't look like it's really losing that many needles that are on the floor.
Yeah.
But I do see it kind of like, it looks really sad and saggy and all the bubbles
are falling
off. Speaking
of sad and saggy, I mean, my big concern is that... I blame Instagram for this, but ever since Instagram came along, I used to be blissfully ignorant at how bad I am at decorating the tree. And I really try. I really try. And it still looks like I dragged it out of a skip.
Is yours a family occasion though, Jo? Do the three of you get together?
No, nobody gives. No, it wouldn't happen if I didn't do it. And then my daughter said to me the other day, I sent a picture of it to my friend Ruby and she laughed. I know.
Yeah, but you know what?
Cruel.
If you didn't do it, she'd be like, she'd feel sad.
Probably. I mean, but are you one of these celebs, Edith? I just kind of feel like there must be a team of people roaming the celebrity houses of London and dressing these trees professionally.
Definitely tree dressers. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely tree
That's
dressers.
That's been an explosion, that industry.
Ours is an event. Like, I'll do the lights. Otherwise, we'll just have one massive ball of lights in one part of the tree.
Lights are really, you know, that's the source of all family wrath, I think, around
Swearing my dad used to do when I was a kid with the lights, when one would go and then the whole thing would go, be like, oh.
And why is it that no matter how hard I try, there's always like a real bold patch with the lights on my tree.
And then as soon as you try to lift them or move them, then either the entire section of that tree's needles will fall off. Or you kind of pull it down from another bit. Yeah, I'll do the lights and then I just leave all the baubles in a thing and the boys just kind of go for it.
Oh, that's nice.
And I like collecting stuff to stick on the tree. Like we went to New York a couple of years ago just before Christmas and we bought baubles. My mum gives me them. We've got ones from the kids like first Christmas. Mum's got these. She gave me these things. I made Christmas crackers out of crepe paper and toilet rolls when I was a kid. I've got two of those that we stick on the tree. It's kind of so rather than it feeling like it's got to be sort of, you know, kind of Insta ready, it's more about it's a memory tree in a way, really. It's really
That is gorgeous.
I think that too, because I do think it's weird. And also, it's not good for your carbon footprint. These people that every year they have a totally different theme to their tree. So it's a whole palace theme. Because I'm with you, Edith. I mean, I've only recently been I've lived here for 4 years. And so I didn't really have a Christmas tree prior to that. But I quite like the fact that every year I'm adding something to it, but I'm not chucking out the first lot of decorations. I'm sort of every year it builds. Because like you said, it's supposed to be almost like a bit of a scrapbook, right?
I
feel like it.
It
is true though, Joe. I definitely think, I feel like the Christmas tree, that the professional Christmas tree stylists are the new hidden celebrity stylists. You know, the stylists, those celebrities used to pretend they didn't
have nannies.
And we always knew, because we worked in magazines, we knew who their stylists were, and celebrities would pretend, I just threw this outfit together myself. And we're like, no, you didn't. Your stylist, blah, blah, did that for you. And I now feel like there are people doing that with their Christmas trees. These celebrities.
And I also think that because those Christmas stylists have to work all year round, they're going to invent things like a Valentine's Day theme for your house and an Easter theme.
Yeah,
it's going to be all like, I mean, thank God I shine at Christmas wrapping. I'm really good at that. I love it. Oh my God. If I was a rich celebrity, I would be one of those twats who had a wrapping room.
Barbara Streisand's got one.
Yeah, actually, I would
love to go to Barbara Streisand's house just to see her wrapping room.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know, I bet there's elves in there and everything.
In my head, Nigel, I like to think you wrap every present with the same sense of ceremony as, In Love Actually, you know, and what's his name? Blackadder.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson.
Taking 15 minutes to wrap one present.
Yeah, I really love it. Glass of wine, some good music. Everyone leave me alone because no one's allowed in because they're not allowed to see what you're wrapping for them. And then, yeah, it's bliss. I love it.
And you have to have one of these.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got one of those. And do you know what I got given this year, which might come in handy, is a label maker.
Oh.
Might go a bit nuts with that this year. Do you know what I did last year? How sad is this? I bought stencils and I hand wrote on everyone's gifts on the paper.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I bet it's really therapeutic, though. It's like colouring in.
Honestly, it is. I don't know why. I love it. And that's my secret career that would never happen to design gift wrap.
Just want to say, by the way, for the benefit of our lovely listeners, Edith just did hold up a lovely, very professional-looking sellotape holder.
Oh, yeah, I forget that this is audio. Yeah.
It's audio, girl. Told you, remember.
How long have I been doing this?
I'm not sure what conclusions we've drawn, but I'm worried that you shouldn't have bought that tree so early, James. You should have.
I know. By the way, if anyone has any tips for how I can literally get my poor Christmas tree across the finishing line, please do get in touch. Drop us an email at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
This is a tree fluffing emergency, everybody.
It really is. It really is. Please help me pimp my tree. Help me get it through. Because at the moment, this is the other adding thing to my stress. I got that note through yesterday from the recycling company telling me they won't be collecting my Christmas tree till January 4th. So it's going to last till then. So please, yes.
Have you got a log burner?
Because by then it would be such a sort of wizened husk. It will burn beautifully. I'll send it to you, Edith.
Get yourself to B&Q, get yourself a saw, and then you can, recycle the Christmas tree for your log burner.
I do have to quickly tell you a story. When my grandmother, God bless her, when she was alive, she used to tell this story. My grandfather was so lazy, and again, a bit like you, Joe, never got involved in anything like Christmas decorations. And one year, my grandmother decided to put up a bit of a, for God's sake, do something, help me. So at the end of Christmas, she said, right, please take down the Christmas tree and deal with it. And my grandmother, about half an hour later, got a knock on the door and just said, from her next door neighbour, said, have you won the pools? And she was like, why? She goes, well, your Christmas tree is at the end of the street and everyone's raiding all the baubles off it. My granddad had picked up the tree and just put it outside, completely dressed with everything on it. And the whole neighbourhood had come and ransacked my grandmother's tree.
That's your granddad being passive aggressive about never being asked to do anything again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I love that.
Anyway, nothing says Christmas like a good family.
Did he think that the Christmas tree came like that?
See, you can buy like ready-made like Christmas trees that you literally kind of take out the box and plug in, and it's like ta-da.
What kind of heresy is that?
Well, where's the magic in that?
Exactly.
Where's the memories in that?
Oh, dear.
Well, we did Christmas tree, girls. Shall we go on to our next one, Joe? This is your one, actually.
No way is this just me, and anyone who says it is just me is lying. Is it just me who has finished Netflix and is panicking about it?
Come on. I there's so much I haven't seen.
How come? What have you been doing? Have you been like making love to your husband or something like that?
Been dressing the Christmas tree, Joe.
Oh, okay, that takes a while.
I haven't watched, I hate to admit this, I haven't watched Breaking Bad.
Oh, right. You're in for a treat.
Neither have I, Edith, don't worry.
I haven't watched, what's the chess one everyone's wanging on about?
Oh, The Queen's Gambit.
I haven't watched that yet. We just got a dog as well. We just got a puppy, so.
I've got a dog.
That's been kind of quite time consuming. Yeah, how old's yours? Ours is 4 months old.
She's 10, and she quite liked The Queen's Gambit.
He doesn't like the telly at the minute. You leave the room every time we sit and watch telly.
Anyway, so, we've now got sidetracked. Edith, you've got to talk more about the dog. What kind of puppy is it? What's her name?
He's a Portuguese water dog. We nearly called him Barack because it's what the Obamas have got. But we called him River. And he is kind of chocolate Brown, and he's wicked. He's a little feisty little thing, but he's brilliant. And he's been an amazing distraction for the boys and my husband and stuff as well. And I'm allergic as well, so it was a big deal for me. So my husband did loads of research into it. And we went to see him when he was a puppy to see how I was. And, you know, I have good days and bad days with it, but it's kind of interesting just to kind of just take that attitude of like, you know, sod it, let's just go with it. I'll kind of deal with it. I'll live with it. And, you know, it's been amazing for them, though. They absolutely love him. And he's just...
It does change a house, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
My husband's gaga over him. It's so cute.
Oh, Edith, the husbands and the dogs. It's like, it's my dog last night. My husband went to his really grim Christmas party in his work canteen. Yeah. And, you know, it's just me and the dog home. And I wondered where she was at one point. She was just staring at the front door waiting for him to come home. I mean, don't take it personally, Joe.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I can see that's happening already, sort of thing. No one gets a look in when he's in the room. It's hilarious.
Oh.
Well, anyway, so I'm not to need, but anyway, back to the point that he did. So Netflix, you're not, well, that's good. You're a slave to, you know, the TV. But I would have thought you have to do a lot of film watching, right?
As yeah, that's probably what I've been doing. So I've had a lot of screeners that I've been watching, and we've just started watching. I do love that thing, though, of having a series to watch in bed with my other half. And so we've just started Schitt's Creek, actually.
Oh God, lucky you. It gets amazing. Yeah.
It's so, I mean, I was like, episode one was a bit like, you know, it was like, but even by episode three, I was totally in.
I think so sitcoms, it's like the first episode or even the first series is like, you know, the first pancake, it's never that great. But once you've warmed the pan up. Yeah,
absolutely. But yeah, so I like having that. But yeah, I feel like I'm a bit behind on Netflix, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend you though, Edith. I would imagine it's a bit of a busman's holiday, because I think you probably have to consume so much, like I said, film stuff.
That you it's an amazing research tool for me. I just did this Sofia Coppola show for BBC4. And so she picked a load of films that we were going to talk about that have been like influential to her and stuff. And, you know, Netflix is the first place that I'll go to see if the films are up there and kind of watch them. And it's great for that. It's really, really good for that.
Mm. I'll say, Joe, I do get a low level panic because I mean, I wouldn't say I feel like I've finished or completed Netflix. Like it's actually like some sort of game, but I definitely have a feeling of slight like discombobulation when I don't have a show I'm into.
So oh, like, I know.
Yeah.
When I finish,
and that's finding.
This is where
thing.
I am at the moment. I'm rudderless at the moment, yeah. People. It's like, and you know, I might have to talk to my husband. This is serious. Yeah.
Yeah, but at least you two have got. See, I went very quiet when you were talking about the Mandalorian because I've not made the leap yet into Disney Plus.
Oh, well, I think that the only reason we did was for Hamilton, but then that was there as well. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean it's been my savior, to be honest, during lockdown for the kids. It's been amazing.
It's brilliant. Yeah,
so good. Just the oh, but there's so much stuff on there. It's not when you think Disney, you think, you know, the kind of cartoon animation, but there's so much other stuff on there. My 7-year-old got obsessed with this because they've got National Geographic stuff on there, and they must have been doing something at school about Titanic, and he became obsessed with Titanic, and he hasn't watched the film. But there's a James Cameron documentary on National Geographic channel that he's watched 5 times.
Oh, wow.
It's so aww. Random.
That's great. So I love that when kids get obsessions like that, though. Yeah.
But it is weird, though, going back to the whole festive thing. I guess the way we used to watch TV has changed so much. Like, you know, there would be those event TV moments, right, that we'd all be looking forward to and excited about. And I guess we just don't really have that so much. I mean, like last year, we did have it a bit with Gavin and Stacey. But I feel a bit like maybe that's what there's not one show I'm itching to sit down and watch.
Oh, well, that's the Mandalorian. That's the Mandalorian for us because they just release that every Friday. So the kids just finished school, but that would be a kind of almost like a religious experience every Friday. Come home from school, have an early dinner so that we could then all sit down and watch Mandalorian together.
Yeah.
And I would fill a void because weirdly, this is going to sound so like, so I kind of finished work for the year about a week ago and I wasn't feeling festive. And for me, obviously, clearly a child of a certain age, nothing to me says Christmas quite like Star Wars. So I literally sat down and watched for 3 consecutive afternoons. I watched A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. By that Friday, I genuinely started to feel festive. Top tip for you, Joe. Top tip.
Great.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Motherland Christmas special. Yeah, that's probably, you know, sort of like where I am. That I think that will speak to me in the tone of that Christmas. Yeah.
Can you watch stuff again or not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you the type of person that can go back and watch stuff again?
Oh, yes.
Are you?
There are certain things I can. Like, I've watched Succession more than...
Oh,
like,
God, that's amazing. And in fact, I think that's worth a few viewings because it's so quick and so layered.
So clever. Can't wait for the next season of that. That last episode. Oh, my God.
Why did I not see that coming? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, you didn't at all, did you?
And then everybody I know who knows them says that it's virtually a Murdoch documentary.
Did you watch that? That was, there was a great partner on the beep. That was amazing.
Well, you might be horrified by this. So basically, I was very slow to the Succession bandwagon, but I did have the fortuitousness to jump on it at the same time as that documentary was being shown. So it was amazing. Wow. I watched them in tandem, and I really think it really enhanced my enjoyment of Succession because I could just genuinely see the parallels between the storylines and what was fact, what was fiction, or what was fact, what was fact. But yes, it's I'm trying to think what else to me screams Christmas, like in terms of television.
Oh, it's Elf. Elf is the ultimate Christmas film for me.
Elf, always. Yeah. Elf, Home Alone, Polar Express.
Polar Express. Although Home Alone, we introduced my daughter to Home Alone when she was about 5 years old, thinking, oh, you're going to love it. She was traumatized, absolutely traumatized. And for weeks later, kept saying to us, why did that little boy's mummy and daddy leave him at home? She was like, absolutely couldn't cope with it at all.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it ruined it for me.
Also, I love how many people are only just realizing that Catherine O'Hara from the mum from Home Alone is obviously the mum in Schitt's Creek. It's amazing.
Yeah. Didn't and all of that. Christopher Guest's amazing films.
Oh, yeah. Which one's your favourite?
Best in Show, I think.
Yeah, I think I love that. I think Waiting for Guffman's my favourite.
Can I make a very, I'm sure that I might get hate mail for this revelation, but so I don't hate the film. I actually love the film, but I have a very strong opinion about It's a Wonderful Life. And the feeling is that it's a brilliant film, but I almost can't watch it because the child at the end is so annoyingly precocious. Literally, it almost undoes the entire film. Literally, I almost want to go back, recast the entire child and then save that film because the kid is so irritating at the end.
Well, here's my terrible admission is I haven't watched it anywhere near enough to even know who or what you're talking about.
Edith, you know who I'm talking about. That kid at the end. Oh, Andy, the angel gets its wings. Oh, God. It's like those irritating voice of a child ever. I know you shouldn't say that because all children are beautiful, but it's a really...
It's all right, he's dead now.
Merry Christmas.
Sorry.
There's that festive spirit. Alive and well. Please do send your hate mail to isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. We can't wait to hear from you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Lovely. And then, ladies, another random one from me this week, but it really has been playing on my mind. And I think because we're coming up to Christmas and there's cooking involved, it's getting worse and worse, my anxiety about this one. Is it just me? And I'm not exaggerating, that cannot crack eggs. Now, I precursor this with, I'm fairly adept in the kitchen. I enjoy it. I like cooking. But honestly, I struggle to crack an egg. I always seem to get a bit of shell half in there, or even worse, a tiny bit of shell, which you don't spend 20 minutes chasing around the bowl to try and get out.
Okay, here's a tip.
Oh, yes.
Best way to get shell out is to use another bit of shell. Because it sticks to it.
It's like a magnet, right? I've heard this.
Yeah.
But also then sometimes when you've got to do when you have to separate the yolk and the egg, I always crack the yolk and when it's coming out. Yeah. But it's becoming worse. Every time I now go to crack an egg, I almost I feel like a professional elite athlete trying to psych myself up to do it. And I often fail. Anyway, I know this is a ridiculous, is it just me?
You know what? It's not just you with the eggs. I mean, I definitely always, when I've cracked an egg, always spend a bit of time fishing a bit of shell out of the bowl. But I have to tell you, you've just made me realize I just do it and I've never thought about it for 1 second. I just kind of, it's just never something that, and I've never thought, oh God, here we go again. Okay, got to crack this egg right.
That's going to be what the problem is.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just like you're a failure. You're a huge failure. You can't even crack an egg properly.
I do have slight egg cracking envy when you watch like a Jamie Oliver video and he does the one hand thing. It's like, oh, stop showing off.
Yes.
And I can never do the kind of squeezing the lemon through the hands because I've always got like little cuts on my hands. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's the most painful thing in the world.
I've never been able to chop vegetables the way they all can.
But here's my two bits of it, because weirdly I was having this conversation with my kids love Bake Off and it's amazing.
Is this your
expertise? Yeah, I like what you did. That's a good Christmas cracker joke. That's brilliant. But my boys, they love Bake Off and it really kind of, they always want to bake, you know, after watching it and stuff, which is great. But they have a slight kind of egg thing as well, where they're a bit apprehensive about, oh, am I going to crack it properly? So it's choosing the right thing to crack it on. So you have to use something that's kind of quite sort of firm and hard to crack it on. So you get a good clean break. Because if you do it on plastic, it doesn't get a clean. I know, because we spent weeks doing this with them. And so that would be a little tip for me for the egg thing, is to kind of just go for it. Don't think about it. Just crack it. Crack an egg on it really hard. And that's it done.
So if you go on a little, but isn't the word egg really eggy? There's just something, I don't like the word. Do you? Egg.
I mean, I love eggs. This is my problem. So this is a daily concern for me. Every day, it's, you know, every day's an egg day. You know, every day's an eggy day for me. And the struggle is real, girls. I'm not going to lie. There is, and I feel like it's getting worse. That's why I felt I needed to get some sort of, you know, moral support.
Is there a YouTube tutorial?
There's got to be.
Yeah.
Get Jamie Oliver on and get him to tell you the best way. How do you do the one hand thing? Because you've got to like crack it and then separate it with one hand and nothing else goes in.
And have you ever
love to get Jamie Oliver on, but you know, I had a meeting with his team a little while ago, because in my real job, I do a lot of food and stuff. And basically, apparently his schedule is diarized like for the next 4 years. Like he literally knows what time he's going to the bathroom on January 24th, 2023. Wow. Yeah.
He's a global brand, isn't he? And he's cracking a lot of eggs, Joe.
cracking. Yeah. I wonder how many eggs Jamie Oliver goes through in a year. There's a good question.
but yeah, that, yeah, cracking eggs is definitely my culinary Everest, I would say. What is yours? What is your one thing that you fear in the kitchen, girls?
I hate grating.
Do you? That was very, that was, you were very quick. I was sitting there just still thinking and you right in with that.
I love eating grated things, but yeah, the idea, it's like, oh God, not the grating again. Like whether it's
really
cheese or carrots. Like I found a recipe over lockdown of Matthew McConaughey's wife's amazing no mayo coleslaw. It's phenomenal. So I'm slightly obsessed with it. And you can kind of, you know, make your own version of it. And anyway, it involves a lot of, because it's either that or you get the kind of the machine out that you does it, but then that's just too much washing.
Yep.
So it's just that thing as you get closer to the last bit that's great, it's going, am I going to lose the end of my nail? Shall I get skin in this bit? You know, it's like, it's just,
can I have you ever considered mandolining, Edith, with the vegetable peeler?
Mandolin. Oh, so using the peeler on the thing.
Yeah. Thin strips of carrot. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good
idea. Quite a slow process, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
No, it's about the same as grating. There's something for you to think on about.
I'm not a fan of sifting either. I find sifting very boring. You know, you sift flour or sift cocoa.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so
boring. You guys, these are all things I do without thinking about it either way. Either way. My big Achilles heel in the kitchen is anything like rosties and fritters. They never stick together, ever. No matter how many bloody eggs I crack and bind in there, or it's a running joke. I'll get out a recipe and Ross will say to me, you know you can't do that. Just don't do it. So, yeah.
I just love the confidence of this. You just said it. I just crack an egg and chuck it in there like it means nothing, Joe. Like it's not in any way an issue
That's
for
confidence.
You.
Confidence. That's confidence.
Rubbing my nose in it, Edith. Rubbing my nose in it. Did you see that?
Egg on your face, James. Egg on your face.
Yeah.
Quite literally. Eggnog. It's festive eggnog all over my face. No one drinks eggnog in this country, I feel like. Have you had an eggnog?
It's disgusting, clearly.
Oh, just give me the mulled wine. Give me the vat of mulled wine. Anyway.
Do you know what? I've not had a mulled wine yet this season.
What?
I know. When it's the week before, it's the week of when this goes out. It's a shocker, I know.
I thought it was Christmas Day, right?
Well, we're a couple of days before, Jo. You're getting closer, Jo. Getting closer.
Yeah. I must start reading your emails. Yeah.
New Year's resolution.
Exactly. On that Christmas bombshell, eat your heart out in vendors. Edith, thank you so much for joining us.
So great, so genuinely great to chat to you.
So lovely to see you.
Lovely way to start the day. Thank you so much, guys. Brilliant. Hopefully I'm gonna skip through the day now.
I hope we see you in person in 2021 very soon.
I hope so too.
And have a very happy Christmas to you and all your family as well.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. Stay safe. Yes.
And everyone check out Soundtracking because it's brilliant.
Thanks, Absolutely. Joe. Lots of love, guys. Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Thank you for listening.
See ya.
Take care.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.